Chapman's Ice Cream just added a twisted treat with a whirlwind of flavors. Introducing the all-new Chapman's Twister. The Fruit Twist, strawberry center with twists of cherry, orange, and blue raspberry. The Rainbow Creamy Twister, vanilla ice cream with twists of lemon lime, cherry, and orange water ice. Stacked and twisted, blue raspberry, cherry, lemon lime, and orange. And the Neapolitan Creamy Twister, vanilla ice cream with twists of strawberry and chocolate water ice. Add a twist to your day with chapmans.ca.
Melissa is the survivor of a failed saline infusion abortion in 1977. Despite the initial concerns regarding Melissa's future after surviving the attempt to end her life at approximately 7 months gestation, she has not only survived, but thrived, and she joins us on the show. Melissa, I see, this is how I struggled with the last interview. I don't even know where to start.
I love that you said, you know, it's the what, right? It's true.
It's exactly what this is. Now, listen, we don't typically, I can't, Tim, do you remember the last time we talked about abortion on the show? Like, it's not a thing we talk about.
No, you usually avoided it because when people would call in, it would get kind of...
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. But I don't want to be recognized, like, the Christian gang, posse, tribe, whatever, it's sort of known for, they've always sort of been known as a two-trick pony, especially in the States. It was always like... abortion and gays, abortion and gays, abortion and gays. So I think we just sort of went, I don't want to be identified with that. But your story, Melissa, I'm sorry, puts a whole new spin on this thing, a whole new spin. So thank you for joining us, and all the best. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. We're going to avoid this one.
Yeah.
You and everybody else, Drew.
Man. All right, so I'm going to tell you the summarized version that I've been telling my friends, and you tell me if I got it right. Ready?
Sounds good. Yeah.
So your birth mother's mother made your birth mother have an abortion, and at 7 months, they did it, tried it, told your birth mother that you were aborted, but you weren't, and here you are today on the Drew Marshall Show. How did I do?
Yeah, that'd be the abbreviated version. Bravo.
I cannot get over the seven-month thing. Is that still a reality? Is that still allowed today?
It is in the States and various other countries. If I remember right off the top of my head, the U.S. is one of seven countries that allows abortion unrestricted at the federal level. So from a legislative, political standpoint, yes, it does still happen today. You know, what I actually was talking to somebody about yesterday was, you know, back in the 1970s, it probably happened even more frequently. And what happened even more frequently is that children like me survived. So this type of procedure that was performed on my birth mother and that was meant to end my life is not a procedure that is done routinely anymore, simply because so many of us actually lived.
Do you have, oh man, I'm freaking out on this one. Well, I'm freaking out for a number of reasons. One.
Like, how do you tiptoe around this, right?
No, you don't. You just don't. I mean, here's the thing. I, you know, Tim and I have talked about this. Tim's a liberal tree hugger. And,
amen.
And, hi, Tim.
Hello.
And I'm an adopted guy, right? So, I'm so thankful my mom didn't kill me, basically.
Right.
And I don't, but at the same time, I got to be careful because I'm a dude and, you know, I think I got a limited amount of say in all of this as compared to a woman, but maybe I've been brainwashed by the liberals. I don't know.
That's what our culture tells us, right? And I would say you don't have to accept that message.
No. Okay. Hold on. There's so many messages I've been getting these days. That just made me sound like I need more medication. Jeez.
Or you need a bigger phone style storage.
Let's go just to your story, Melissa. And someone asked me when I was talking about your story, somebody said, well, is there anything wrong with her today? Like physically, like did it have a detrimental impact on your health?
Right.
This abortion that you initially survived?
Yeah, initially, yes. So that type of procedure, you know, was meant to poison and scald the child to death. So typically the procedure lasted about 72 hours. And, you know, after the child soaked in that toxic salt solution, they would induce labor. The child was meant to be delivered deceased. Through my medical records, we actually know that I didn't soak in the toxic salt solution for 72 hours. I actually soaked in it for 5 days. They repeatedly put in my medical records. They kept trying time and time again over that 5-day period to induce my birth mother's labor. And I often joke, I'm just a little stubborn. I was not budging. And so it wasn't until the 5th day that her labor was induced, I was delivered. And, of course, this was a great shock, right? This was not supposed to happen. I was not to be born alive. And demands were initially made to leave me to die. And, you know, gratefully, somebody fought for me. And even though they fought for me, though, the prognosis for my life was pretty poor. I weighed a little less than 3 pounds. I suffered from severe respiratory and liver problems, suffered from seizures. The doctors actually thought I had a fatal heart defect initially because of the way my body presented itself to them. And so, of course, the prognosis for my life was very poor. And so, yeah, that was the prognosis for my life. But today I am perfectly healthy.
Ben Shapiro, I watched recently talk about abortion and when life is life. Because if you believe that life starts at conception, as soon as the
sperm, egg.
Yeah, I don't want to say those icky words,
though.
Well,
then don't say it. I'll do it for you.
As soon as the chemical
reaction. We all feel like we're in sixth grade.
I know. Someone's going to say penis soon, and it's going to freak me right out. You know, as soon as that stuff goes, that's the
soundtrack that's behind the video.
You know, then I personally feel that life is intentional, not accidental, and I think there's purpose and design, and so I think that is the start of life. And so if you think that's the start of life, then anything after that is death. And if there's and then you've got to say, well, if there's death, and you know, how can you? But at the same time, oh man, here we go right into this stinking conversation. At the same time, you know,
I've been thinking about this a while.
No, I have, because like I've had a few friends come up to me and they confided in me and they've said, you know, I've been really carrying this burden. I've been really hit, and I got to tell you, I know I didn't want to let you know because you know you're a God guy or whatever, and I feel kind of. I had an abortion, and they just cry, and we talk through it, and I just listen. You know, what do I have to say? I have nothing to say. But it provokes a whole lot of stuff in me. Like, there is a part of me that... I remember the first time someone said, I had an abortion last week. The first time someone said that to me directly, I can't lie, I was disappointed. I felt sad. I felt like life had been killed. That's what I felt like. Mm-hmm. Now, I certainly mm-hmm. didn't say that to the person, because yeah, I'm not heaping coals in that person's head. They got enough. But as a guy who was adopted, again, maybe I'm more hypersensitive to this whole thing. By the way, thank you for this therapy session, Melissa. This has been great.
Actually, my background is as a therapist, Drew, so anytime.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
But
so,
But I appreciate the fact that you're thinking out loud, right? Because this is a struggle for a lot of people, right? We go, you know what, I am pro-life. I believe that life begins from the moment of conception, right? I believe that all life should be respected and protected. And then you realize that people have judgments, right, and notions about you, and they question what you believe and how you feel about them if they've had an abortion, right? The list goes on and on. And I think what most people would probably be surprised to find is that I am probably one of the most caring, compassionate, understanding people that somebody could ever meet. Some of my best friends used to run abortion clinics, have had abortions themselves, and we care about one another, and we understand the human condition, and we understand love and forgiveness, and we put it into action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Tim and I keep saying Tim. I'm sorry to keep bringing him up ever, but in this conversation... Tim and I have had these conversations, and, you know, one thing we can agree on, until God people start coming alongside of women or girls who find themselves pregnant, then I wonder if the church should shut up a little bit more. you know, put your money where your mouth is kind of thing. Do you know what I mean, Melissa?
Well, absolutely. And that's for all of us, right? I mean, and let's be honest, yeah, the church is a huge part of that. You know, I often say I cannot think of any other quote-unquote social issue that the church avoids as much as it avoids abortion.
Hmm.
I mean, really. And so it is pretty telling, right? And when we realize that most abortions take place predominantly because of issues like concerns about schooling, their job, having a place to live, right? How they would manage finances, they have other children, right? There are these socioeconomic reasons that typically are the driving force behind abortion. And so I always beg the question, right? If we could meet people's needs, mm-hmm. and impact this world, what a difference would we make for the cause of life? That's what I want.
Yeah, keep, now I'm, hold on, we got to get off my, this has turned into, let's talk about my issues, and we're going to get into your story in a second here, but let me get this last part out of the way. Again, Tim, you know my story yeah. enough to know that I knocked up my girlfriend.
Yes.
Married her.
Yes.
Stayed together for 29 years, raised the kids, both of them, and it just didn't even dawn on me to consider an abortion or
mm-hmm. adoption.
No. But maybe I don't know. Maybe I was privileged or something. I mean, I wasn't raised in the hood. You know, just eating nuts, scrapping for.
Because you were adopted. My guess is that's probably one of the main reasons that
you didn't
abort and you didn't put him up for adoption. Because you've lived it.
Okay, I got to stop talking about
my... Tim's your therapist.
No, Tim is not my therapist.
Yeah. I just want to make a quick little statement. It's interesting about, with regards to teenage pregnancies, places where sex education is taught, STIs and teenage pregnancies are very, very low. And where it is not taught, that's where they're very, very high. So it's interesting that this whole conservative mindset about, ooh, sex ed, we can't talk about sex because then they're going to have sex... It actually has the opposite effect.
Do you have any statistics for that?
I don't have them in my back pocket, but I can look them up for you, honey.
Okay. Melissa, how did you find this out about yourself? How did you find out that your birth mother, this is going to sound dramatic, a little Jerry Springer here, but how did you find out that your birth mother tried to kill you?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's okay to use that word, you know, because that is what was meant to happen to me. I was actually 14 when I found out the truth about surviving that abortion. Like you, I'm adopted, you know, was adopted by my amazing family. My parents, you know, made me who I am today, and grew up knowing I was adopted, knew that I was born premature, never questioned any of that. And then suddenly here I am at the age of 14, my older sister, who was also adopted, faced an unplanned pregnancy as a high school student and was considering an abortion. You know, it's interesting that you brought up your history, right? Because even though we had the history of adoption and knowing about respecting life, my sister in that position considered an abortion. And when our parents found that out, they told her the story of my survival. You know, the adults in the family knew it. My parents knew it when they adopted me. You know, all of these things, but they finally broke their silence, told my sister, hoping that she could understand just how deep of a thing she was considering for her life.
Sure.
And the life of her child. And my sister let it slip to me one night that there was more to the story of my life.
Hold on, let it slip to you. This is what I remember. Maybe I got it wrong. But with sibling, you know, kind of rivalry or, you know, I hate your guts kind of stuff or give me my clothes back. Did she not basically say something, oh yeah, well, at least I wasn't, you know, at least my mother didn't try to kill me or something, I don't know, something like that?
At least my parents wanted me, yep, at least my parents wanted me. Do you have two daughters? You sound like you know girls when you said, yeah, you know, and that is what it was, right? We were having some argument about something just absurd that night, right? And she just shouted, you know, at least my parents wanted me. And I was thinking, wow, that is just crazy, right? Because my parents tried really hard to raise my sister and I to know that we were on equal footing. you know, equally loved by them, by our birth parents, that we were placed for adoption. And so, yeah, it was the most ludicrous statement I had ever heard. And so that's when she realized that she knew something that I didn't. And so that's when she encouraged me and said, oh, you know what, wait up for mom and dad tonight and ask them to tell you the truth and you will see.
Oh, and did you wait up?
Oh, I sure did.
Was she grounded at least for that?
You girls are vicious. That's why there's a scripture in the Bible that says, here are all the horrible sins, and one of them is haughty eyes. That was for the girls.
You go, girl.
I have two daughters. I have two daughters.
Okay, so here's the you're also the author of the book, you know, You Carried Me, A Daughter's Memoir. That was released in January last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did the biological search go? Because mine was fun. How was yours?
It was fun and exciting, complex and long. How long does yours last?
Oh, heck, not very long. I think maybe in total a year from start to finish. We have the adoption disclosure register up here, and in order to find your birth parents have to willingly put their names into the adoption disclosure register. The list, and then you don't know that until you put your name in. And if you put your name in and they don't have their name in, you just sit there waiting until they put their name in. You put your name in and one of their names in, then they'll do a little non-identifying information first, and then they'll see if you're okay with that, and then you want to continue, and then they'll set up the match.
Mm-hmm.
You?
And it's kind of like the International Sound X Registry. I had put my name on that a long time ago, and you know, knowing the circumstances of my adoption, suspected that nobody probably wanted to hear from me, right?
Yeah.
And so it took me 10 years to find them. It was one of those, you know, processes where I learned a lot, you know, about how to search for people and adoption decrees and, you know, whether the name on my adoption paperwork was indeed maybe my birth mother's maiden name, right? There were just all these hoops to jump through. So really, it did take me 10 years to find them. And when I finally found out who my birth parents were, it was only because I actually found them through my medical records. You know, over that 10 years of searching, I tried to obtain my medical records through the court system, through contacting the two hospitals that I was at. And, you know, was told over the years, no, there's nothing about anybody like you. And so I tried one last time in 2007, and not only did I obtain my medical records that actually talk about the abortion that I survived, but they accidentally forgot to black out my birth parents' names.
Oh,
I call that divine intervention, right?
Mm-hmm. That was before. That was before liquid paper, though. The what?
I feel so sorry for that medical records clerk. They probably really regret that.
Oh man, man. Oh. So when you, okay, I mean, yeah, you're right in saying that your scenario is the kind of scenario where, yeah, I would imagine that your birth family would be like, no, you're not connecting with us, thank you.
Yeah, never, right? That's what we would think on the surface, but like most stories, it's a lot more complex. When I found my birth parents, I was actually living in the same city as my biological father. I didn't grow up there. I moved there during my 10 years of searching to finish my master's degree. Knew all along that that's where my birth mother's abortion had taken place, but I honestly didn't think that I had any family there. I suspected maybe they traveled across state lines to have this abortion, but they were from there, and my birth father was still there.
So, okay, keep going.
So I sent him a letter not long after I found out who he was. I sent it to his office, not his home. You know, I didn't know if he'd ever told his family about me, and so I wanted to protect him. Sent off a letter, in 2007, and never received any reply. And I think that's one of those circumstances where, you know, and people would say that to me, right? Well, you should be prepared for that. They probably didn't want to hear from you, and that's true. And God gave me a lot of time to prepare for that, but it did bring up all of those old feelings, right, that I had had to work through of, yeah, you really are unwanted, you're unloved, nobody wants to hear from you. And you have to learn to not listen to those whispers, because they're always going to be there. And so
I'm sorry, you know what, hold on. I'm not asking, I'm not saying anything. You have just got to keep going with this.
Let me go.
Totally, okay. You go, girl.
Okay, yeah. So that was in 2007, you know, never heard back from my birth father and, you know, had to trust in God once again that there was a plan that was above and beyond what I had for myself, and actually reached out to my birth mother's family. I couldn't find her through my searching, but I had found her parents, the grandmother that I now know that was responsible for the abortion. I didn't know back then that she did the things that she did. But I am thankful that I sent them a letter because I think they probably needed to hear from me as much as my birth mother did. And so, you know, sent my grandparents a letter, let them know I was alive and well, not angry, not bitter. You know, I'm so healthy, I'm blessed. And corresponded back and forth a little bit with my grandfather, but he let me know that my messages to my birth mother just simply would not be passed along because they were completely estranged from each other. And I didn't understand it all back then because I didn't know all of the details that I have now. But it does make sense to me looking back 40 years ago, you know, knowing that they forced that abortion upon her. It was not anything she wanted to do. It makes great sense to me that their relationship has been that forever changed.
Man. Well, what's your God journey? Have you been a Christian for ever since, I don't know, you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior in Vacation Bible School with flannel board presentations?
Absolutely.
When you were four?
My mom taught Vacation Bible School, right? some of the best years of my life. And really, they were. I mean, I loved having my mom there. Yes, I mean, my parents raised me to know Jesus from my youngest age. You know, I often tell people, you know, people said, what's your youngest memory of faith? And I can still remember being like three, maybe. And my parents put an empty checkbook underneath the tree, right? They wrapped it up at Christmas time, put it under the tree, and we opened it up as kids, right? We were like, there's nothing in here. And it was them showing us that it was God's love, right? Even though it's something that we can't see, it still exists. I mean, I love that's what my parents raised me with.
Yeah, that's a great example, but you got ripped off for a present to me.
Blank checks, though, would have been nice.
I can't remember any other presents that Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting point. Man. Melissa Oden is on the line with us. She is our final journey segment of the day, Hope in the Midst of Mess. She is an abortion survivor. You okay with that title?
I am. Yeah, sometimes people walk up to me, right, publicly, and they'll go, are you the abortion lady?
Oh, gee.
And I always think, wow, this is awkward. This is just awkward for everybody involved, yeah. Right? Nobody yeah. wants to ask.
Yeah, although that sounds like something I would say. Tim.
Yes, sir.
You know, you've been all, how do I say this?
Pro-choice? Is that what you're about to
sure,
say?
Sure. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
You're a liberal.
Liberal, sure.
What do you say to her? Huh? Sorry, her. Oh. Melissa, what do you say to Melissa?
It's a tough way to respond here. No,
beep,
no, well,
beep, 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 beep.
If she had been aborted at, you know, 6 weeks, we wouldn't be talking about this story. So that's a slightly different thing. And I think you and I touched on it earlier, that until the church antes up and puts their money where their mouth is, until the men who are, it takes two to tango. And I don't like the fact that we dump this responsibility on someone. That's the part about it that bothers me with regards to abortion, that mm-hmm. it gets dumped on this one person and no one else is involved in it except to say you can't do it. That's where I struggle.
Is it murder? You can't say that,
I don't know if it's murder. I don't know
You're
where
so
life
kind.
Begins. I don't know.
No, it
know.
Wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have been murder at 31 days for me, as opposed to 31 weeks.
Yeah, that you're asking
guess,
that. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
No, but if life is conception.
Mm-hmm.
It's the math is simple. And by the way, let me just, I got to say this now, because this is, hold on.
No.
I have to say this. And I want to say this to the girls in the room here right now, because I've got three millennial interns in here. Sounds like some super wrestling team or something.
Or some cult.
Yeah. Three millennial interns in here, and I want you girls to know a couple things. I don't know all of your spiritual stuff or what you believe or don't believe. We know a little bit because we talked about it last week, but here's the deal. if there is a God, then I firmly believe that God is love. And if God is love and you have had an abortion, I can't even look at you guys while I'm saying this. If you've had an abortion, please do not think that this God is sitting there going, well, then I hate you. That's not the deal. Exactly. That's not the deal. Because if you were my daughters, I would not hate you. Secondly, if you ever find yourself pregnant and you don't know what to do and you're considering, like, how do I talk to my parents? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I'm telling you, I will do everything I can to help you for the rest of your life. I had to say that.
And the third thing? You said there were three things.
I did.
You did.
Oh. And the third thing is whatever Tim says is wrong. Okay.
Well, and I'm so thankful that you said that. And that's not only right for those young ladies that are in the room, but for anybody that's listening, right? I mean,
hold on. I can't help everybody who's listening. Throw me under the bus like that, Melissa.
It's not the true sponsor show.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. Melissa, I want you're a great communicator. You've got a really good sense of humor, and I want people to know that Melissa is someone else who can be booked as a speaker through ambassadorspeakers.com. Ambassadorspeakers.com. Bring this woman up here and get her to talk to your people. That's how good she is. Melissa, as a parting, you know, I don't know. What do you
parting gift?
As a parting gift, I'd like to give you...
From The Price is Right.
Whoa, what?
I'd like to give you Tim. We're going to fly him down and you can keep him.
It's a burden, not a gift.
What do you say to all of the people out there who are listening right now who aren't necessarily from the Jesus scene and they don't necessarily... they don't have the same kind of convictions or whatever, and they're basically going, hey, you know, it's you choose to do what you want to do with your body. What do you say?
Well, a couple of points. First of all, you know, most women, if you read through the research and you listen to women's stories after abortion, you'll find that most women report feeling like they didn't have any choice. And the Elliott Institute out of the United States reports that over 64% of women internationally, 64% report being pressured into their abortion decision. Those are some important statistics to remember. That there is often the feeling of not very much choice for women. And, you know, in the midst of that, too, I would have to say, recognize that abortion hits closer to home in most people's lives than you will ever, ever, you know, want to believe. We learned that in my family, right, by what happened to me. But we're talking about, you know, if there's 100,000 abortions in Canada a year, well, then that's 100,000 lives lost, but there's, you know, 200,000 men and women that are affected by that decision, and then you have their parents, you know, extended family members, right?
Mm-hmm.
The medical professionals involved in it. So we have all of these people. Here in the States, you know, we have about 1.2 million abortions a year. So, you know, we have millions upon millions of people's lives who have been forever touched by it. And so, you know, I just want people to keep in mind, even though it may feel like it's someone else's choice or decision to make, it does affect your life, too.
My mouth was absolutely wide open. 1.2 million abortions a year?
Yeah.
Frig.
That we know of.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, yeah, okay.
California doesn't report out their abortion statistics. Yikes.
That's a very populated state, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa, this has been painfully great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
I'll
you.
Take that
thank you.
Which is also how he describes my relationship with him.
Thanks, you guys. Afternoon.
Thank you for sharing. There's so much more we could, but yeah. Anyway, thank you again, ambassadorspeakers.com. Melissa Oden, O-H-D-E-N is her name, and she's the author of also You Carried Me, A Daughter's Memoir. You can get that on Amazon. Thank you so much, Melissa. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, bye-bye.